This week, iPhone users on the Crimean Peninsula noticed something different. Two apps from Apple, Maps and Weather, now label Crimea as Russian territory. Russia took over the peninsula from Ukraine in 2014. Much of the world still does not recognize the annexation. In the rest of Ukraine, Crimea remains labeled as Ukrainian territory on the two Apple apps. The Ukrainian government, though, is denouncing Apple. So how exactly should mapmakers deal with these political boundary disputes? Joining me now from Scotland is Mick Ashworth. He's a cartographer and author of Why North Is Up, Map Conventions and Where They Came From. What is the normal protocol, Mick, for creating maps of areas with disputed borders?
The primary considerations are just what is happening on the ground, largely, so that you've got to consider a lot of sensitivities. There are obviously sensitivities on both sides of a geopolitical or territorial dispute. Cartographers generally would tend to look at what the de facto situation is, what's actually happening on the ground. They'd look at how widely recognized that territory is and the definition of its boundary. And they'd also consider the view of where they're publishing their maps. They'd look at the view of their own government as well, which could vary from publishing domain to publishing domain.
So when you see these kind of disputes, like outside of Crimea, how are they usually handled?
Well, they're dealt with as fairly and as neutrally as possible. I edited the Times Atlas of the World for a long time, and we had to be incredibly careful in how we represented things and not being careful not to upset too many people. You can't please everybody all of the time, obviously. There is an interesting aspect to this Crimea story just now. There's a lot more flexibility within the digital realm for Apple and Google to show things differently depending on where their users are logging in.
When it comes to national borders, what are some of the strangest borders you've seen lately in maps?
There's so many that are sort of contested in one way or another, and the more you look into where boundaries came from, the more you see why there are issues now. So I've been looking recently at quite a lot of the origins of international boundaries in Africa, for example, when after the scramble for Africa, the slow and steady appearance of new borders across the continent is fascinating, and the fact that they were drawn by officials hundreds of miles away from where the borders are gives you an insight into just why there were problems there and why there are continuing problems in many parts of the world.
What about disputes over place names? I know this is a whole different subject, but like Ukraine has given some people trouble over the Kiev or Kiev, E or Y debate. And now it's like, how do you even pronounce it?
Yeah, it has. And names are right up there with boundaries as to one of the most contentious issues to deal with. And my understanding is that although Google don't show Crimea as part of Russia, they do use Russian transliterations of the local names for Crimea rather than Ukrainian name forms as well. So they're maybe hedging their bets a bit there. But this issue of choosing the right name form is fraught with difficulty. And as soon as a place is named by cartographers or is named by its owner, in theory, it does add credence to their ownership of a place. Because it can deeply affect the people living in those areas. The Persian Gulf is a case in point where the Iranians insist that this should be called the Persian Gulf everywhere. Arabic countries refer to it as the Arabian Gulf. Other publishers call it the Gulf. And there's all sorts of sensitivities about what it implies in terms of ownership and control.
Right. And one's decision to use either Arabian Gulf or Persian Gulf immediately lands you in a political camp. You're in Scotland. Is Brexit going to give you some new map-making opportunities?
Who knows? But I mean, I'm not arguing for such change, but such geopolitical change across the world is always good for cartographers. I would say that.
Mick Ashworth is a cartographer. He's in Scotland. Thanks very much.
Okay, you're welcome.